Welcome back to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. What is something that you're passionate about? Do you speak boldly about that passion? We tend to speak boldly when we passionately believe something. The apostles in Acts began preaching boldly. Are we willing to do the same? This is part three of our 21 Jumpstart series titled, You Make Me Brave.
21 Jumpstart is the first 21 days or so of the new year. It's to give us a jumpstart spiritually, to get us to focus, and we're getting rid of distractions and focusing on things that we really want to build our lives on, our family. So let's keep going. We're nearly to the end already, but let's keep going even this week, okay? Keep getting God's word in you. And my prayer is that the habits you're in through these weeks, you'll continue on every day, every day, every day. Every day is a new day. And we've never lived it before, so when we put God's word in us in a new day, it's like it applies to us in a way it never has before, because we've never been there before. So keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. So we've got people all over the building today, classes and all that, kids galore here and there. We are blessed indeed. So grateful for that. And like Joel said, the incredible event that Cindy and her minions put on tonight with all the kids and all the people from all over the place, just great, great times. And it's not just fun entertainment too, but it's getting Jesus, finding ways, creative ways to get Jesus in families and in kids. So we're in week three of You Make Me Brave. It's about being bold. The first week I kind of opened with that general exhortation about being bold, living bold. And then Jeremy did a great job last week talking about bold prayers, remember? You know, asking and just listening so carefully. So today I want to talk about bold words. Because in our present environment that we find ourselves, and I think a lot of us are asleep at the wheel and don't realize what's going on, the political correctness and all. It's especially creeping in and trying to tidal wave matters of faith and things of spiritual significance. And here's what I've grown up with, hearing things like this, but even more so nowadays. Here's some of the things that I hear. You know, religion and faith, those are private matters. Have you ever heard that? Keep it to yourself. Keep it quiet. Don't make waves. You need to be so careful so you don't ever offend anybody. I wonder if Jesus got that text. He seemed to offend people, the right people. It's okay if you offend the right people. Jesus did that. I'll just let my life speak. I'm going to be a silent witness. Well, okay, there's some validity to some of those points at the start, but that's not the ending point. And I agree, I used to talk to teens, I talked to them about showing and telling. You show before you tell. I should say show then tell. I mean, our lives need to align, don't they, with what we say. But we're going to have to come around to the speaking, because our culture is trying to cram their agendas down our throat, and they're trying to silence us and embarrass us. Like, are we allowed to say that? While they can say anything they want. We stand in truth. And sometimes our boldness needs to include words of warning, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I was thinking about warning, you know, and it's not just for yourself, but if you're out with somebody and you say, look out, heads up, remember? I mean, because, you know, and then they look up and they get hit in the face with a ball. Look out, heads up, boom. No. Yeah. Oh, the things that come into my mind. I'm reliving something right now. I think I'll just let that pass. Ask me later. But here's the thing, you know, about this, we need to warn. Have you thought about the major league ballparks, if you like baseball? Have you thought about baseball's existed for over 100 years, and now they're putting safety net up all around the field? How many of you are aware of that? Come on. Why are they doing that? Because most of the spectators are now have their heads down looking at the phone. They're not looking. And so we used to say when a screaming foul ball would come into the, look out, look out, look out. But now they just put nets up so you can go on looking at your phone. Why pay the money and go to a ball game if you're going to look at your phone the whole time? So there are words of warning. Look out, watch out. And if we truly love, we'll speak those as well. But here's my point that I want to build on today and get some practical things. I believe that we absolutely speak boldly when we passionately believe something. Is that true? When you absolutely, when you settle it, when you've sold out in a good sense. And I love to tell others about quality things like Cutco knives. I got Dixie some of those, a starting thing this Christmas. I love the quality. I mean, I'd almost buy an Apple phone just to see how it's boxed when you get it. Can you relate? I love quality things. I like Chick-fil-A. I like Bose speakers and those kind of things. I like Balsam Hills Christmas trees that look even better than live Christmas trees. I mean, you name it. I love quality. I love quality. And when I love it, I talk about it. I recommend it. Oakmont Bakery, if you've never been there, northern Pittsburgh. Oh, my lands, out of this world. So we do speak with boldness. Whether we take that in the spiritual area or not, we do speak boldly about things we passionately believe. And so I've directed your attention in this series to the book of Acts, because if you would characterize the quality, characteristics of the early disciples follow Jesus, boldness has to be right up there, especially after they encountered the Holy Spirit. And it's because they were convicted and convinced that Jesus had been killed, buried, and was risen from the dead. They were there, they lived it, they saw it, and they constantly spoke about his resurrection. And they would not be quiet. They would not be silenced. They would not be shushed by the world. And I want to tell you, so many things that they encounter with persecution, it's coming our way, like it or not. After Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, remember, he was transformed. I mean, you talk about bold before Jesus, but his boldness was redirected, his energy and his passion. And now, when he was trying to do Jesus in and his followers, now he became a supporter, and he talked about the resurrection. And it said in Acts 9:28, for example, Paul stayed with the apostles and went around all Jerusalem preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Let's make sure when we're preaching boldly in his name, we're representing him very well by the way we live, by the way we speak. And after Saul turned into Paul, he was linked with a veteran, Barnabas, and they tag-teamed, speaking boldly of Jesus, like Acts 14:3. The apostle stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. Boldness, speaking boldly what had happened in their lives, about the transformation. And remember again, as I mentioned, that at this point, the disciples and the followers of Jesus were under tremendous pressure and outright persecution because of the name of Jesus. Verse 29 of Acts 4. "And now, O Lord," they prayed, "hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." Great boldness in speaking your word. Verse 31. "After this," I'll add humble prayer, "the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness." And I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit shows up, we have a boldness that is not our own, that is not worked up, but that he puts within us, that we can't contain. We can't keep down. We can't silence. And because of that result of this prayerful request, in the middle of persecution, they were filled and they preached with greater and greater boldness, speaking the name of Jesus, because they passionately believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that was everything. Do you believe? Have you settled it? Peter and John, remember? They were tag-teaming too, and they encountered that lame man. Remember Temple Gate? Could not walk since birth. And he said, "Give me money." And they said, "We don't have that, but we'll give you this." Verse 6 of chapter 3. Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And the Bible says that's exactly what he did. Verse 7, "Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand." I always thought it should have been the left, but he used his right hand. I'm left-handed. I'm on a campaign for left-handed, the left-handed fellowship. "And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were suddenly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went to the temple with them to worship God." In other words, he was pointing and praising. Can we do less? Can we do less? I thought about that. I was thinking, Dixie and I went to a bed and breakfast a couple nights, Quail's Covey up in Hartville area. Had a great time, great people. We met a great couple there. But we spent a couple of days, day and a half, driving around all their old haunts and reminiscing about where my dad spoke and where she was born, just all those things. And when I did that, I had my Andre Crouch CD. And do you know about my friend Andre? He's the best friend I never met. He toe-touched my life with his music. He's in heaven singing now. But I thought of this because one of my mothers, that's a regret I have, that my kids and my grands never knew my mother, because she died when I was in college in a car accident, 55 years old, vibrant, classy, full of the word, and I can still see her joyful face testifying, tears streaming down her face. She'd say this over and over, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I mean, she loved it. And she had to begrudgingly admit that she liked some of my Andre songs even back in those days. This one wasn't released, but I know she would have loved it because it was on one of his favorite albums that I've ever heard. But it goes, "Say so, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, don't you think it's time we ought to say so?" Don't you love that? That's what the disciples were doing. They were saying so. They were letting their voices be heard. They were bold, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter sees that opportunity. The former coward, now bold. He took that opportunity to preach, and the religious leaders were furious, and they had another fit, as they were prone to do. And they didn't like it because they were constantly speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. And that wasn't bad enough that people were believing and they were following Jesus. So they were arrested, put in jail, put on trial, and they expected to kill them possibly. But they were trapped because this lame man that was formerly in that case, in that condition, was now walking around praising God. And they asked themselves in verse 16, what should we do with these men? We can't deny that they have performed miraculous signs, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. They were bewildered, basically saying, that can't really happen, but it did, because that guy was lame and now he's walking, and we can't deny it. God had done something undeniable. How many of you know God still does undeniable things? And I say all the time, I don't like the word amazing because it's overused. I'm tired of it. But when it comes to God, it's really fitting to say he is amazing. He does amazing things, does he not? And we're not to be a surprise, but we are never ceased we're never to stop being amazed by the goodness of God and by what he does in and through our lives. I heard this story somewhere. A little girl, I love it. She had gotten into poison ivy while playing and was miserably covered with it. Have any of you been ever miserably covered with poison ivy? Give me a wave or a nod online. Come on. Somebody has it now, I can tell. The doctor gave them some topical medicine and also predicted several days of misery for this poor little girl. Anybody can relate? Several days of misery. So little Katie approached her daddy and said, Daddy, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Jesus to heal me. The father responded lovingly, oh, honey, that's so sweet. And he tried to walk back her childish faith just a little bit. That's sweet, honey. Now, you know what the doctor said. It's going to take a few days for that medicine to work. And by the way, we believe God works with doctors, without them, with medicine, without it. How many of you know that's true? I mean, whatever he does redemptively is good. She said defiantly, I don't care what the doctor says. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask Jesus to heal me by morning. Dad smiled again. Oh, honey. Now, okay, but I don't want you to be too disappointed if it doesn't happen. You know, come on, some of us parents have been there. Next morning, around 5 a.m., little Katie burst into the room of her parents where they were sleeping, flipped on the lights, wearing nothing but her panties. She started whirling around like she was a little ballerina, saying, Daddy, Mommy, look, Daddy and Mommy, look. Ta-da! Don't you love it? And I just got thinking, that's what we ought to be doing. When God has delivered us from the hand of the enemy, we ought to be dancing around going, ta-da, look at him. I was that, but now I'm this. I was labeled this in my former life of sin, but now I can say, I am a child of God. Ta-da! But let's look to him. Let's point in praise. Let's learn from the little kids how we love to hear stories like these. I can testify, Dixie and I, our marriage was in the deep weeds. The husband and wife were radically saved, encountered God in a new way, and they led that marriage to a new place. They used to act like they hated each other, but now you can't slide a piece of paper between them. You can't even pry them apart. Ta-da! Oh, how many times have I seen that, but I'll make it local. My teenager, that boy that I love so much and believe for, was into everything he could get into and rebellious. But he came to the church and he attended Thrive and he made friends and then he met Jesus. And guess what? His rebelliousness is gone. What a change. Ta-da, to God be the glory. God can take rebellion out of your heart in an instant when you meet him. Wow. How about this one? My life used to be consumed with addiction, fill in the blank. But I met Jesus and I began to follow him and he broke off my chains of bondage. I'm free. The transformation was undeniable. I want to tell you, I used to be a thief, but I'm not now. I'm a child of God. I used to steal, but now I don't. Quit identifying yourself by who you used to be when you were in a life of sin. Amen? Stop it. Stop it. You're a child of God by his grace. If you've been to the cross and said yes to a relationship with Jesus, you'll never be the same again. Wow. Acts 4:17. I'm gonna be thinking that tonight and go to bed. Ta-da! I like that. That's gonna be the one thing you remember from this message today, I guarantee. Acts 4:17. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any far, their ta-das any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name. Okay, we must warn them. And then the next verse says, so they called the apostles back in and commanded them never to speak the teaching name of Jesus, ... or else. They were intent on stopping Christianity in its infancy. They didn't want the name and fame of Jesus spreading any further. They wanted to nip it. So they were commanded, don't even speak his name out loud. And I want to tell you, in our world now, it's not very popular to speak out the name of Jesus Christ either, unless you're swearing. You hear me? I mean, you can generic God all you want, but I believe we need to pray and we need to be bold in Jesus' name. Now more than ever. Now more than ever. Commanded. Listen to their response. Oh, I love this. This is so appropriate for us. We should have this attitude. We need to cop this attitude. Verse 19. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than them? Rather than him, I should say. I think we need to say in our world, do you think God wants us to obey you more than follow him, his heart? Absolutely not. What did they go on to say? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Nobody can talk you out of anything you've seen and experienced. Nobody can talk you out of the transformation that took you from death to life. I was once was lost, but now I'm found. Nobody can talk you out of that. Amen? Because you've been there. You lived it. You've experienced it. And you can't stop talking about who he is. They couldn't help it. They spoke of what they deeply believed. They said, do what you will, do your best, but we're not going to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. It's too good to keep to ourselves. Yeah, I said earlier in some trivial ways, we can't start talking about something we're excited about or believe in. And we spend so much of our lives talking about things that nothing wrong with, but music and clothes and restaurants and all those kind of things, and that's fine. But how much more boldly should we declare things that matter, things that are eternal? We talk to our kids about so many things. How much time do we take and make to talk about things that really matter forever in a spiritual sense and grand, and make connections to what they're going with, to spiritual matters, to talk to them with a spiritual emphasis or application, and to pray with them before school or whatever. I'm going to tell you, we must be full of the good news that Jesus changes everything. So bold words, and I want to give you some practical things in these final minutes. So let's put ourselves in the disciples' place. We're not just talking about then, but we're talking about now. It's so applicable. And let's just look at it like this. So what they would say is what we should say. Here's what we have seen and heard. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. Then he came back to life and came out of the grave, and he's alive. Everything changed, and everything's changing. I like the ing better than the ed, because we're never done. How can we stop talking about this? We must speak boldly. What we so deeply hold in our hearts and believe, you can't talk us out of it. So, where does it begin? The first thing is, I think that we need to speak boldly to ourselves. That's where so much defeatism spiritually happens. We don't speak the truth of God's word. Oh, what did I get from a text from a friend that texts every week? He said, what did he say this week? Something like this. He said, I have more trouble with myself than I have with anybody else. Could you agree with that? Isn't that good? True? I mean, let's mind our own business, because we've got our hands full just taking care of ourselves. So where do we start? We talk to ourselves. I also heard recently, or paraphrased myself, I can't remember what, that what other people think and say about you is none of your business. Think, you need to write that down and think about it for a while. But let's talk to ourselves. I love the original translation of the NLT, the first edition, because in the Psalms it's filled with, praise the Lord, I tell myself. How many of you are like me? You have to tell yourself things. I mean, you have to plaster the scriptures on the mirror until the steam in the bathroom makes them peel off. I mean, we've got to speak the truth over and over. When David was pressured, and I don't want to take time, but in 1 Samuel 36, remember, and he was distressed, and his men were coming against him. They were going to try to stone him. It said that he went off by himself, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. I think he gave himself a good talking to about who God has been and who he is in his life. His faithfulness throughout his lifetime, over and over again, he was strengthened in the Lord. I heard this from a guy that has so far in his past, this testimony. He had battled with lust, and it was a secret thing that came out, and it forced him to confront it, and he did with integrity, finally. But he just couldn't seem to beat it. He couldn't seem to overcome it. And until he in a right relationship, he confessed and repented before the Lord and came clean and with accountability. But he said, here was the turning point. Listen, he said, things begin to change when I begin to preach to myself daily, multiple times. So I've just finished the book of Job, like you in the Bible recap. And he said something like this. Job said in the Old Testament, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. She is created in the image of God, and I will honor her as my sister in Christ and refuse to reduce her to an object to satisfy my lust. That's what he was speaking to himself over and over and over. He said, not just daily, but hourly. And he said, as he preached the truth to himself, as he spoke to himself, God began to renew his mind, and he woke up, and he was no longer battling the demon of lust. The chains had been broken because he boldly preached to himself all the way to victory. That's why we get God's word in us, for good and for good forever, because his word has the power to transform us from the inside out. It starts by talking to ourselves, speaking the truth, preaching the truth to ourselves. Speak what we believe to be true. When the heat's on and when we feel overwhelmed, about to be overcome and things we don't understand, pray and declare the promises of God. Don't stop, for goodness sake. That's the time you need to keep doing it. Like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Don't you like it? That's not me focused, that's God focused. Don't you like that? When I am weak, and we are, he is strong. It's not by might or power of my own, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. I will not be anxious in everything or even anything, but I will, by prayer and petition, submit my request to God. I will allow the peace of God to rule in my heart, in our home, and I guard my heart and soul in Christ Jesus. Hey, those are turnaround promises that help us to turn in a new direction. But we've got to go on the offense and strengthen and encourage ourselves in the Lord. His word is powerful. It's alive. It's active. Are you activating God's word in you? What do? We put it in. The Holy Spirit activates it. Agreed? Put it in. Keep putting it in. I pray again that the habits of some of you have begun in 21, I'm sorry, you'll continue and say, my goal is to not miss a day. I'm going to put God's word, I'm going to take it into my heart every single day. You'll be amazed what will happen with that word. Okay, so talk to yourself. That's the first thing. People think you're crazy talking to yourself. Preach to yourself. Make bold declarations to yourself. The second thing is become an encourager, because once you've gotten yourself straight, how many know, then you can help others. Sometimes we try to help people and we pull them down to the level of our struggles. We don't lift them up, we pull them down. So we begin to encourage others. The Bible is filled with those things. Passages like Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Jesus lovers and followers ought to be the most encouraging people on the planet. We need to put this into practice daily, using God's word to lift each other up. We must be doing this, and I'm speaking from years of experience as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus. We need to see that there's potential, there's spiritual greatness, regardless of where they may be at this moment, in each one of them. Begin to speak it, declare it, pray it, fight for, declare it, who they are in Christ and who he wants them to become. It's okay to pray for our kids and to call this out. I believe God's anointed you to be a leader. I see those qualities in you. You have creative genius in you. You have God-given talent and abilities that he wants to use. You are so sensitive to the needs of others. I love it. That touches my heart. You're always thinking of them, and I can see creative expressions of generosity in you. I can't wait to see how God uses you. I'm telling you, you're giving them something to live up to. You're not labeling them. You have integrity. You have a love for the Word of God, and that touches my heart. You are determined. You're ferocious. You're fierce. And God will use that like he did Paul for his glory and honor. There's a passion in my bones, I'll tell you, to speak life and to speak encouragement into others. I want to give infusions of hope. I want to be a person that gives hope infusions, if you will. I so passionately believe that this can change the direction of a life. Don't grow weary, lose heart, give up. Don't focus on yourself. You've talked to yourself. You've preached to yourself. You've decided. You've settled it. You're encouraging others. Spend your life pouring out. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Be a finisher. And I think that's something we can say and pray over our kids and grand. You're not a quitter. You're a finisher. You will complete all God has called you to be and destined you to be. We need to be aggressive. Don't give up. God's called you to be faithful, to be encouragers. We need to hear and receive this truth today. Encourage someone before you leave this building, could you? Ask God to help you to become an encourager and to keep growing in it. Amen? Do you like to be around encouragers? Of course you do. Or no, some of you Eeyoreites, you like to be around discouragers. Oh my. Never be like this before. I think it's going to get worse. I think we're going to have snow tonight. It's going to be horrible. And I'm going, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. You know, whatever. All right. Are you a finisher? This isn't just for the followers of Jesus in the New Testament early church. This is for us. And then we're going to be willing to speak loving correction. How many of you know that love never lies? Did you hear me? I want to say it again. Look at me. Love, we want to protect them. You're not protecting somebody by lying. You're hurting them. Love never lies. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Loving correction. What does Proverbs 27:6 say? Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. And sometimes we let the enemy slobber all over us and believe what they're saying when we need to be wounded by people who really love us and care for us. That are willing to shake and go, no, it's not okay. The direction you're choosing, no, it's not okay. I deeply believe, listen, with boldness and fierceness and passion, I want to say, I believe what God says is right, and what God says is wrong, is wrong. And if it was sin, it is sin, and we can't move from that position. But I want to tell you, when we speak the truth in love, we lose the luxury in Christ of hating anybody. How many of you understand that? We speak the truth in love. We may hate their sin and rebellion, but we love the person. And therefore, anytime we're accused of being haters, it's a big lie because we don't. We love. We love at all times. But we speak up. I'm not talking about becoming a jerk in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes just your tone of voice can put you in the jerk society. Be direct, but be kind. Oh, what was this line in that say-so? Oh, yeah, make it beautiful, sweet and beautiful. Be sweet, be kind, wise as a serpent, harmless of a dove. You got to say so, Andre wrote. So let me just give you some practical pastoral insight here as I wind it up. Don't rub your spouse's nose in your favorite taken out of context Bible passage. And don't highlight the special book that you think applies to them and lay it beautifully on their pillow with a flower. But you could say, I love you too much to allow you to go in the direction you're headed. But let's quit trashing our spouses to others. Hit your knees and talk to God about them. Ask him to bless them and help them to become a man or woman of God. Boy, that'll change things. Oh, and here's the biggie. After your last fuss, get down on your knees and ask God to change your heart and attitude when you know they were wrong. Oh, God, change me. Don't let your eyes and your heart wander from your spouse. You stood before God, a man, and made promises you intend to keep. If you're not, you're chasing something that Satan will use to destroy you and destroy people who love you. Go home.
Go all the way home. Don't pass go. Be a man or woman of God. Love your spouse. Be the parent and grand God wants you to be. Don't allow someone else to raise those children and influence those grand. I love the scripture that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The problem is so many of us, we haven't left home, but we've forsaken home. We may be there in body, but we're not there in spirit. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that needs to be our testimony as men and women in the home. Amen? Speak life, love, and encouragement. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to fight for you. But I love you too much to allow you to go the direction you're going unchecked. How many things could be changed if we would just be bold, lovingly, loving, and speak up. But we let it go. Well, I thought, I wondered, why do we do it? Why do we speak the truth in love? Because we want to lead people to Jesus. 4:20 again. Of Acts. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. No matter what, I won't stop pointing to and praising him, for he is good. I can't stop talking about him. We can't stop giving invitations to say why to Jay, come at the cross, and yes to Jesus, to relationship. I'm sorry for my sin and rebellion. I turn to you. I need transformation. You know, I was reminiscing of the blessing season past that. Oh, by the way, I want you to know, it used to be in my rearview mirror, the blessing season, the week after Christmas, but now it's in front of me again. Isn't that good news? I can see the next blessing season out there again, but I was thinking about that. There's so many, I realize, this blessing season past that know about God but don't have a relationship with him. They know the story, but they don't know the author. And sadly, I want to tell you, many, many churches and people online, that is their testimony. They don't know the author of life. Well, when we've had an encounter, life-changing transformation with Jesus again, don't think of something that just happened. It did, but it's still happening. Put the ing, I'm being transformed, present active. Never stop talking about our transformation. We've been forgiven, once lost, but now found by God's grace, saying our identity is a child of God. When we're being transformed by God, we never get over it. It never gets old. If we aren't willing to speak boldly, then maybe, just maybe, we don't believe it deeply and passionately. When we truly believe, we won't settle for living like the world, chasing things that have no eternal value. Hey, you and I were called to make a difference, and we can. In our God-given circles of influence, wherever he places us. But we cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard. Talk about who he is. Talk about what he has done. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Great things he is doing. Ta-da! Point in praise. Amen? Let's pray together. You're joining me in standing before we have a final song. Thank you, Father, that we as the redeemed can say so. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it has the power to bring life change to everyone who believes. I pray for anybody in the sound of my voice that has not said yes to you, relationship with you. They think God thoughts and have good beliefs about some things, but they're not in relationship. Oh, bring them to the place of saying yes. Yes. May we settle it. May we be convicted and convinced that God is who he says he is, and that he still does ta-das that point to him. And I pray that even we would be challenged, and even as we close this service, wherever we may be, that we just slip to our knees and say, oh God, I haven't had the boldness that you want me to have, and I haven't been willing to speak the truth in love, but Lord, I'm making a commitment to you today that by your grace and by the power of your spirit, I'm going to speak the truth in love whenever you give me the opportunity. Thank you for your faithfulness. I pray it all in Jesus' name.